You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode, of course, is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is changing the way we talk sports. It's an awesome app where you can go and talk to pretty much anyone about any sports topic that's on your mind. The NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, the NFL, college football, MMA. You can talk about anything on the Locker Room app. And you can, of course, find me on the Locker Room app at Locked On Pirates, of course. If you ever want to talk to me about Pirates baseball and have a chance to be on the episode. So, make sure you go download the Locker Room app and change the way you talk sports and enjoy today's episode. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most, and I am so glad to have you back. Guess who else is back? Key Brian Hayes should be coming back today for the Pittsburgh Pirates. The day is finally here once again after his wrist injury that he suffered in Chicago in the opening series of the year. Key Brian Hayes appears to be slated to return tonight against the Miami Marlins, who, going into this game, a familiar foe, a familiar face, comes back to Pittsburgh in this matchup as Starling Marte brings a 12-game hitting streak into this series against the Miami Marlins, against the Pittsburgh Pirates, sorry. And we'll see. I mean, the Pittsburgh Pirates heading into this series, of course, following a two-game sweep in Kansas City, which saw a bunch of interesting talking points in terms of what is interference at home plate, the Pirates leaving runners on scoring position, Will Crow not being pulled early enough, etc. But we're here today to talk Marlins and Pirates. So tonight, the Pirates and Marlins, of course, will kick off their game at 7:05. Eliza Hernandez, who has a 7.71 ERA and only 2 1/3 innings pitched, is likely to start here for the Marlins, while the Pirates will put Tyler Anderson on the mound tonight. And Tyler Anderson desperately needs to have a good game. It's been a minute for him. He was talked about as one of the trade pieces for Pittsburgh, but over these last couple of starts, it's been kind of rough for him. He's given up 51 hits and 55 strikeouts. He has 55 strikeouts, though, over 56 1/3 innings pitched. And then you look at the rest of this series, and based on what I'm reading, though, so this is all based on what I'm reading, JT Brubaker should be starting tomorrow. And then Saturday, Mitch Keller versus Trevor Rogers. Trevor Rogers, by the way, been one of the like enigmas of baseball this year as a young player. He's been very good so far with a 1.87 ERA. But the Pirates have a real chance here to, I think, at least get a split. Because the Marlins, if we do go and look at some stats in the Marlins here, the Pittsburgh Pirates do fare a little well here, but the Marlins for a longest time were the only team in the NL East with a positive run differential. So it's going to be a very interesting series for the most part. But if you look right now, the Marlins currently are eighth in baseball in ERA. So they're doing pretty damn good in terms of pitching, much like the Pirates. And then if you look at OPS, though, like on-base plus slugging, the Miami Marlins are currently 26th. Pirates are 29th. So this could be a very defensive-like series, I think. That's what I would expect from it. I don't think either team scores more than 6 runs in any of these games. And if it does happen, it's just going to be because of poor pitching from one of the bullpens. And it comes down to the bullpens again, I think, like realistically. And, of course, the biggest talking point in this series is going to be Key Brian Hayes' return. How is he going to play when he comes back? Does he need to get his feet under him? Is he going to start right away? And also, random thing, by the way, Chris Stratton and his family found their dog today that was released a little bit ago. That he'd been missing for about a week, and you saw it on Pirates broadcast that they were looking for him. So Chris Stratton's dog is back home. So thank you to everyone that helped him find him. But again, You know, you have to look at this series as another like stick point for the Pirates, and as we had Adam Bittner on yesterday, you really have to sit there and revel in the idea that this Pirates team basically needs to get 10 wins a month. And you're playing the Marlins. The Marlins, of course, are not as good as the next opponent the Pirates have, which is the Los Angeles Dodgers. So when you look at this, the Pirates need to take advantage here, and if they want to get to that mark, they need to at least split this series. And splitting the series again goes back to the old adage of what I always say. Get 4 or 5 good innings from your pitchers. Pull them when they're ready to be pulled instead of leaving them in and giving grand slams up to Andrew Benintendi. And give your bullpen a real shot at like stopping the game from getting out of hand or keeping the lead. And then Brian Reynolds, of course, has done great. Adam Frazier has done great. Jesus Aguilar, I think, is going to be a very interesting player to watch in this series. 10 home runs, 39 RBIs. And another former Pirate in Corey Dickerson will also be playing in this game for the Marlins. He's been playing pretty well also. A .282 average, .348 on-base percentage, and a .339 slugging. So this is going to be a very interesting series. A lot of familiar faces come back for the Pittsburgh Pirates here against the Miami Marlins. What are your predictions on how Key Brian Hayes does in this series? Let me know on Twitter at LockedOnPirates, of course. I will probably ask you guys later today. I did hear the weather is kind of interesting, so we'll see how that goes. So hopefully weather doesn't stop Key Brian Hayes from coming back tonight. That would be a little unfortunate, but if it happens, at least we know we have tomorrow also. And today's episode, of course, is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. Of course, they have all the car or parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto is a family-owned company that has been helping people fix their cars for over a decade. They don't price gauge like the bigger companies. They just give you the best price and they don't inflate them. Even better, you don't have to watch someone from behind the counter do the work for you when you know what part you need. You can take the stress out of your life of having to deal with car problems with rockauto.com, and make sure you visit rockauto.com and let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And when we come back, we have a special guest joining the show today, and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. And I told you we had 3 guests this week, and the third one, of course, has the most Twitter followers, ironically, but she is from FanDuel, and her name is Gabrielle Goody. You may know her as a major Cleveland fan who also used to live in Pittsburgh, so don't try and hate on her too much. She's a very good person, okay? And we're on a Zoom call right now, obviously, that you can't see with me on the audio. But she is wearing a Pittsburgh Hates Me shirt, which she's very notorious for wearing in Heinz Field all the time. So how are you doing today, Gabrielle?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So for the most part, your Cleveland Indians, by the way, are doing much better than my Pittsburgh Pirates, who no one's shock. But what have you seen in baseball this year so far that has kind of caught your eye just in general? Like, what has been going on in baseball that's getting in your head a little bit?
I think it's been a lot more fun this year.
Yeah.
I think there's way more hype around it too. Previous years, you know, their marketing is terrible.
But I think
this year, I don't know what it is about it, but I feel like more people are involved and more people are watching it. And I think people are like, and it's like crazy to say, but I think a lot of people are like steering away from NBA and going MLB. And I just don't understand that either. But I see it happening and it's kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, and it won't help the NBA at all if both LA teams get knocked out of the postseason in the first round, which is a very real possibility right now that you could have Dallas, Utah, Denver, and who's the other team that's in there? Phoenix as your 4 teams.
Like,
Conference.
Anybody really want to watch that?
Yeah, it's like if you choose with me, I mean, obviously I'm a Clippers fan. I'm invested right now in basketball. I have an investment in basketball, but if you're asking me, do I want to go watch Phoenix and Denver play in a playoff series or watch Fernando Tatis Jr. and Ronald Acuna face each other? I'm picking Tatis and Acuna every time. But I will ask you something about the Indians, by the way. Why did everybody, and I said this before the year, why did everybody think this team was going to be so bad after trading Francisco Lindor? Like they're fine. As I mentioned,
they're fine. But like that's not the only thing though. That was like the last one. We're like, you know what?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even just him. Like if they would have got rid of just him, that would have been fine. But to throw Cookie in there too.
Yeah, I think that's the point that kind of hit you guys a little harder was the fact that it was like, okay, you're already trading your best player. Well, arguably.
We already knew
player.
That.
And then you add that to it. It was kind of like salt in the wound for you guys. But I mean, you look at where you're at in the standings right now. You're only 2.5 games behind Grandpa. Like I call him Grandpa because I don't like saying his name on this podcast. And in wild card terms, you're right there in the thick of things if it wasn't for Boston being one of the surprising teams this year. But I mean, outside of that, who's the most surprising team in baseball so far this year?
The Giants.
I can agree with you on that one.
They're good.
Oh, yeah. They're still leading the NL West.
I didn't think they were going to be really good. They were going to be one of the worst teams. And now they're great.
Fair enough. Okay. So who's been the most disappointing team this year?
Oh, man. I wouldn't say my own. I would say maybe the Twins because I always look forward to playing them and they're really good, even though they did beat us. But they haven't been doing very well.
No. 22-33, negative 27 run differential, which is ironically behind the Detroit Tigers, who have a negative 52 run differential.
They're
baseball,
bad.
But like you said, with like how these divisions are going, no team right now has more than a four game lead in any division. The only one right now is the Mets on the Phillies with a 4.5 game lead. So
and their record's not even that great.
Yeah, yeah, no, and you're right. And being this deep into the year, it's only June, but a lot of these races could go a while. So I mean, for especially the American League, like who do you see as like kind of the team that's in the upper echelon of saying this team can win the American League?
Man, obviously the Red Sox, they look really good. The White Sox, even though we just beat them, they look really good.
Yeah.
Who the heck else is in that league?
Tampa Bay leads the division.
Tampa Bay.
Right now.
That is surprising. That is surprising also. Yeah. Tampa Bay is kind of surprising.
Especially considering now, like you talked about baseball and marketing. Wander Franco is probably one of the most marketable players in the minor leagues right now. And then Tampa Bay trades Willy Adames. And instead of doing that, they say, okay, we're going to bring up Taylor Walls. And everybody's like, wait a second. If you're not a race fan, you're like, who is Taylor Walls? And he's playing pretty damn good now, too. But now this is where I'll shift. What is your best Pittsburgh Pirates moment being a Cleveland sports fan? So this is, it's a very specific question, but like in terms of being in PNC Park before, I'm assuming being in Pittsburgh, what is the best moment you've seen personally from the Pirates watching them for whatever reason?
Man, anytime McCutchen was there, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That's a heartbreaker. That's a heartbreaker. That hurt my heart. Like, that breaks my heart to see that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, one thing I always tell people, too, is his son's name is Steele. He named his son after the city of Pittsburgh.
That's like, that breaks my heart every single time.
Yeah. And then you have former Pirates coming back tonight, Starling Marte and Corey Dickerson for Miami. And then, I mean, you consider it with all other things. What is your favorite baseball moment of this year? Like, it's just a bunch of different stuff about baseball this year. Like, I mean, there's so many different things you could say, but it's like, what is, I mean, for me personally, the Shohei Ohtani thing, pitching 100 miles per hour in one inning and then like literally hitting 115 the next at bat you're up, it's like, bro, this kid's insane.
That's insane.
And then the Angels are 25-30 without Mike Trout now, so it's like you might not even get Shohei or Mike Trout in the playoffs again.
That sucks because that'd be so good for baseball. One of the things that I don't like understand is why people like Mike Trout is the greatest baseball player right now, but he's so boring. I hate to say that. He is. He's just like a, like if I like put this in the perspective of like the NFL, he would be like a really great quarterback who's super boring. I don't have that answer, but he gives me Philip Rivers vibes. Better than Philip Rivers, but he has like the same vibes. I'm like, do something exciting. Very chill. But that's just him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can agree with that. Like, it's like, but the one thing I do wish baseball would do a lot more is let their players open up their personalities a little more.
Yes.
Like you see Tatis, whenever he does the bat flip or whatever kind of stuff he's doing, people gravitate towards that. It's the same way with basketball. People gravitate towards what shoes is this guy wearing? What is his signature move? Like, what is all this stuff? Baseball players have signature moves too. They have a batting stance for a reason. You might tune into a guy's batting stance just because he holds the bat behind his head 20 feet and then he's hitting the ball 435 feet. Now, for me, what is the best way baseball does that? Well, one, you got to get more people watching baseball. And it's hard to do that once blackout restrictions stop a lot of people from watching a lot of baseball. Like, I get lucky enough because I live in Georgia where I can watch Pittsburgh whenever I want on MLB TV. But it's like, if I lived any kind of closer, like West Virginia, and wanted to do that, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, living in Pittsburgh, I couldn't watch the Indians.
Yeah, because it's so close, right? It's only, what, two hours?
And it would be on blackout shirts. And I'm like, which channel is playing this game?
None. And, you know, ironically, the
same
only...
with the Cavs, too.
Oh, the Cavs. Oh, yeah. Well, the Cavs are a fun story. But the crazy thing, and I found this out because I recently got into the WNBA, and they are the only sports league that has a streaming service that does not do blackout restrictions.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. Like, I mean, and it's great for them because I can watch whatever game I want and like get to know the sport a lot or get to know women's basketball a lot more. But it's like, why does baseball not try to incorporate these things, especially where the biggest issue with it in a team we already mentioned is Chicago? You have two teams in Chicago, and from what I know, they show some Cubs games and some White Sox games, and after that, you're shit out of luck. It's like, what do you do at that point?
Yeah, and then they have like cable provider, like the whole thing with like the cable providers, like whatever the heck it's called, Bally
Sports. Yeah, Bally Sports.
That sucks for everybody here because that's the only place you can watch the game. You can't watch it anywhere else for like Cleveland sports. And you have to have cable. You can't get it on YouTube TV. You can't get it on like Hulu. You can't get on any other thing besides like cable.
Yeah. And the thing is for me too, now that I asked, is, I mean, how do you think MLB should start marketing better? Like, is there a way that you think that they, like, what advice would you give to the man upstairs, another guy I don't like to mention on this podcast too often? What advice would you give him on marketing his players like a Ronald Acuna and a Tatis Jr.?
Let him post content too. Like, they can't even post stuff from the MLB onto their own page because they'll get in trouble for doing that. That is insane. One, let them show some personality. If someone wants to wear some kind of shoes, they can wear some kind of shoes. Who really cares? Someone wants to, like, I don't know, just showcase more of that. Like, I feel like baseball, you don't hear a lot of people talking really. You don't hear any of the players' personalities. There's nothing. You don't even get any like dugout moments. You get people mic'd up in every other sport.
Yeah.
You don't really do any of that here.
Yeah. And then for me too, is it's like everybody hates, and I'll say his name for context, Tony La Russa. But like realistically to me, Tony La Russa, for what he said, is pretty much it's like the coin of it's bad what he said, but it's good for baseball. Because what's one thing that always makes baseball great? A good team with a villain. Every time. The New York Yankees had their villain in Mariano Rivera. You knew he came in the ninth inning, your team was losing. Every good team has had every good team has that villain on their team. Every White Sox player, and you could probably agree with me on this as an Indians fan, is a likable player. It's kind of hard to hate Tim Anderson. It's very hard to hate Yermin Mercedes. It's not that hard to hate Tony La Russa. And as I've said, honestly, one of my dream World Series this year is White Sox Padres. Because
that'd
you would
be awesome.
Get Tony La Russa on one side, who no one wants to win, but you know he's going to probably win some games. And then you get the fun San Diego Padres as a lower market, not big market team, who doesn't have a ton of money, but starts spending money. And they're trying to win a World Series, which then gets me into my next question. And I love talking about this. Obviously, there's a problem in baseball with money. How I've said that they need to install a salary cap floor, not a salary cap.
Yeah, not a salary cap, because it's not going to help anybody.
Yeah, a salary cap just means that you're going to have to sit here, and these teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers are going to get pretty much screwed by having $40 million contracts if you set it at a certain number. But if you have a salary cap floor, like for context, and I've said this on this podcast before for all my listeners, Trevor Bauer's contract, I think, is $38 million. You take Gregory Polanco off of the Pittsburgh Pirates books, so he's making $11 million this year. The entire Pittsburgh Pirates organization is making less money than Trevor Bauer would be making in 1 year. That's an issue. There's a huge issue in that. And if you install a salary cap floor, I'm not necessarily saying that teams aren't just not going to be bad. Like, the Pirates would still be a bad team, but they wouldn't
be. But there's a little bit closer of a gap.
And it would stop tanking. And another thing I've said, go to the NFL playoff system before they added their extra team. Bring six teams into the playoffs, so add an extra playoff team. Because one thing last year with the pandemic that I thought was great was the 8-team playoff. Because the Miami Marlins are never in that situation to beat the Chicago Cubs the way they did that doesn't happen. And also, to the whole system of the playoffs is broken, considering we're going to get Padres Dodgers in the second round of the playoffs. But I mean, for me, if you add that extra playoff team, team stop tanking, you add the salary cap floor, team stop tanking, people get better. These lower market teams get better. And what's good for baseball if more teams are better?
Mm-hmm.
Because you go into every season, and you probably see this too, like for the last 6 or 7 years, you pretty much expected probably six teams to be good. The Yankees, the Red Sox, mm-hmm. the Indians, the Astros, the Dodgers, and the Braves.
Yeah. You already know what's going to happen.
Yep. You knew it was the Dodgers versus whoever won the National League. The one outlier, I think, was the Washington Nationals with a...
That was awesome.
Let me check. A 19-year-old Juan Soto, who should have been marketed up the shooter, like, forever. And I mean, that's just where baseball's at for me. And I mean, I like seeing your stuff about baseball too. I know you're much more of a football person. I can't really tell.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I mean, like I love baseball. Baseball is more enjoyable for me, I would say. Football is a little stressful.
Yes. You can just go to you can go to a baseball game and
you relax, do whatever. Yeah.
But if you're going to a football game, Well, I mean, I guess while we're here, I mean, I guess I might as well do it. Christopher Carter, of course, is the host of Locked On Steelers, but we'll bring you some Steelers content a little bit here today. What's going to happen this year in the AFC North? I need to hear this. I need to hear this. You said
Browns are winning the division. It's going to go Browns, Ravens, and like, I don't know, the Bengals might win some games, but then it'll go Steelers, Bengals.
So there's reasons for me to agree, and there's reasons for me to disagree. The one main disagreement here that I love, and Steeler fans love me when I say this. What's the one thing that Mike Tomlin does terribly?
I can tell you, I really like Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin loses to teams with losing records. He loses to bad teams all the time. Let me remind you, he tied against your Cleveland Browns 3 years ago to start the year.
I was there. I was
probably one of the worst things ever, honestly. The beautiful thing about this for Pittsburgh this year is we have the toughest schedule in football, which features Buffalo, Kansas City, Seattle, who might get Julio Jones, a bunch of other teams that are really good. Cleveland twice, Baltimore twice. To me, it spits, you don't get a break. You're not getting a break.
No.
So you're not going to have that opportunity to go into Detroit, which they do play the Lions, but you're not going to play Detroit and then like some other bad team, Jacksonville, back-to-back weeks and get two free wins. You're going to have to go out there laser focused every single week. And I think that benefits Cleveland and Baltimore too. I think this division is going to be a slaughter fest, like legit. All three teams can virtually win 11 games. And I mean, also, too, final prediction for baseball, going back to baseball, who's winning the World Series this year?
Probably the Dodgers.
I was going to say, you could be boring because I said the same. Well, I didn't say the same thing.
The Dodgers.
I said the White Sox before the season started, but I mean, I'm also on the Athletics train, too. I just want the Athletics to make the World Series again. I just need it to happen. Oh, you want to kick us out of Oakland? All right, let's just go make the World Series.
Okay, let's just win. Yeah.
And I
like
said
very
that
much
too.
Major League movie vibes.
Yeah, major League movie vibes. Also, All-Star voting open today. So I'm sure you will be voting for Mr. Shane Bieber.
Yeah.
As your main guy. Meanwhile,
Jose Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez, Franmil Reyes before he got hurt.
Yeah, man, we're all hurt.
Well, hey, our teams play in a couple weeks, so that'll be fun in Pittsburgh, of course.
They don't like to play there. I don't know why.
Who doesn't? The Indians?
The people on the team, yeah. They said they don't like to play there. They don't like to play in that park. I asked them why, and they're like, I just don't know. We just don't like it.
Is it because it's more beautiful than Progressive Field? Like, what's going
probably.
On?
Probably.
I was going to say, they're probably like, what is this? The actual skyline behind me? Like, wait a second. But hey, here's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't like it.
Hey, Rajay Davis, though, has like the most, like probably the best hit I've ever seen in my entire life in the World Series Game 7, honestly. I literally looked at my mom after that happened. Fun story time here for that. I looked at her. I said, Aroldis Chapman really thinks he's going to strike this kid out, doesn't he? She's like, what are you talking about? I said, look at his body language. He's just like, oh, yeah, he's not hitting nothing. I looked at my mom two pitches before he hit the home run. I said, he's either going to hit a gap or double, or he's going to swing this into left field. Next thing you know, he pops it into that literally like the minuscule corner of the left field foul pole. And my mom looks at me. She's like, how'd you know that? I said, I used to play baseball. I could tell. All it took was body language. Like, if you go back and watch that play again, Chapman's body language was just, oh, yeah, I'm just here. Yeah, I'm just going to throw this past you the whole time. You're not going to do that against most people. But, I mean, Indians, Pirates in the middle of the month, I mean, that'll be more of a springboard for you guys probably to get back into the division race. Meanwhile, hopefully, who knows, maybe the Pirates win 2 out of 3. Of course, I've told my Twitter I will be in attendance for that game on Saturday. Some of them wanted me to go Sunday because they want to see me, and I'm like, well, I'll be gone Sunday. So that can't happen. But Gabrielle, where can we find you on social media? Where can we find all of your stuff if people want to, you know, be nice to her? Don't, like, just because she's a Cleveland fan.
If you're mean
fan.
To me, it's fine.
Well, yeah, if you're mean to her, she just claps back. It's okay.
I'll say something back. It's fine.
But where can we find you?
You can find me on all of my social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at GABBGOUDY.
There you go. She even spelled it for you.
I spelled it out because it's so much easier.
Oh, yeah, of course. And you also work for FanDuel. So, I mean, I know we have betonline.ag here, but if you want to go to one of the bigger markets, obviously FanDuel, she's always doing stuff on there, talking NBA playoffs, all that good stuff. Peter Bukowski talks about everything you need to know in sports in under 20 minutes every day, Monday through Friday, on the Locked On Today podcast. Please pray for him, Gabrielle. He's a host of Locked On Packers. So, yeah, we got to pray for him every day. You never know what's going to happen in that saga.
Crazy situation.
Kind of sucks losing a Jeopardy host, right? But I will leave you guys on that note. We talked about a bunch of different things today. Figured I'd give you guys a little something different as the Pirates play the Miami Marlins tonight. And Key Brian Hayes comes back. Thank the Lord. I will see you guys on the flip side tomorrow on Friday, June 4th.